I'm kind of here under false pretences. I'm only here because Ruth and I like to share things when we can. And I promise you I'm going to be very, very, very brief. I just want to ask one question from me, and then James wants to say two things, and they're all small. The question from me for you to ask yourself is, of whom do I remind people? Of whom do I remind people? At lunchtime, I found out who I reminded people of. It was Ronnie Corbett. I don't know whether to be pleased or sorry about that.
Your joke is better.
Yes. Ruth says my jokes are better, more suitable anyway. But there's a story of a nurse who was looking after a patient that she was very concerned about, and she couldn't bring herself, she was a Christian, couldn't bring herself to say anything to her patient about the Lord, or she hadn't been able to for some time, but one day she finally plucked up courage and she said, "Tell me, Mr. Smith, do you ever think of Jesus?" And she said, "Yes, whenever you're around." So I ask you, of whom do you remind people? That's just a question from me to take home. And then there are two little things that James wants to say from chapter 5. There are two verses. The first one is verse 7. "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." And that word patient has the sense of trusting. That is the patience of trust. And what is trust? Well, my definition of trust is, trust is not needing explanations because we know and love the one trusted. Trust is not needing explanations because we know and love the one trusted. So if we want to be people who will keep on trusting come what may, even though we don't get any answers to our hard questions, then the route is by getting to know our Lord more and more, and so to love him more and more, and from that trust will flow. And of course this concept of trust also contains within it the idea of certainty of the joy that's set before us that we were talking about yesterday. That's the first thing from James. The second thing is verse 11. "As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And I just wanted to remind you, just a thumbnail sketch of what the Lord brought about in the case of Job, for our encouragement to take away. You'll remember that Job was a man who was righteous. He was one of whom God said to Satan twice, "There is no one like him in all the world." And do you know that God says that to Satan of you and me? "There is no one like her in all the world." And God permitted very severe suffering to come upon his servant Job. Job had no concept of what had passed between God and Satan. And remember that his response to the very hard things that happened to him was, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And you remember that his wife said to him, "Curse God and die." And you remember Job's response to that? I'll have to look it up. That's the end of chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job said, "You're talking like a foolish woman." No wonder I forgot it. Shall we accept good? Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. That, in essence, was Job's initial response to the things that happened to him. Then in chapter 3, we read of Job's nervous breakdown. So if you've had a nervous breakdown, you're in very good company, and you don't have to feel guilty and ashamed about that. If you haven't had one, the good news is you could still have one. And then remember what Job said at the end of chapter 3. In chapter 1 we read that Satan said to God, "No wonder Job is blameless and upright. You've hedged him around in protection. You've blessed him with every conceivable blessing. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands," etc. At the end of chapter 3, we find Job saying, "Why is life given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in, not in blessing, but constricting his world with pain?" A constricted world out of which he could see nothing except hopelessness. But throughout that situation, he hung on in trust. And as we read the book of Job, we see Job asking God very hard questions about his pain. The kinds of questions that would frighten us all out of our pews. Like, "Why have you made me your target, you watcher of men?" And there's another one in chapter 10 that's rather a good one. "Does it please you to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands?" Somebody mentioned asking the question, "Why me?" The first question that the cancer patient asks, "Why me?" And it's a perfectly legitimate question, because at the end of this book, we find God saying of Job, "My servant Job has spoken what is right." God did not blame Job for the hard questions that he asked. The hard questions were appropriate in his situation. Expressing his pain. And yet, he hung on in trust. He had no concept of what was going on and how it would all end. He hung on in trust. Trust is not needing explanations, because we know and love the one trusted. Job knew and loved God, so he hung on in trust. And every now and then we find shining through such things, statements as, "But I know whom I believe. And I know that though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God," and things of that kind. "He knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, these words are to us in our particular painful situation. So Job continued. Notwithstanding the difficulties, the obstacles that his friends had put in front of him, Job continued through his painful situation. God seemed silent. He wanted to argue his case with God. But where was God? And this is the testimony of so many people in severe pain, that God seems to be silent. Where is God? I can't find him. Richard Wurmbrand, when he was in solitary confinement, spoke of the time when he was in such severe pain he couldn't pray, he couldn't meditate, he couldn't do anything. He said, "I couldn't pray unless the Lord counts as prayer the heartbeat of the man who loves him." And I'm sure that he does. And that's enormously comforting to us. But in the end, God spoke. But he didn't give Job answers to his questions. Do you remember how God answered Job? He answered him with two questions of his own. And they're very perspective-restoring questions, and questions that we need to remember when we are constricted by our own painful situations. The first one: "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" A very perspective-restoring question, that. When we're in the midst of our own little pain and we can't see anything further than that hedge, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" And number two: "Are you more just than I am?" That's another very perspective-restoring one. Are you more just than I am? And in a sense, we were talking about that this morning. that when we slander our fellow Christians and disobey the law to love them, we're really saying that we're a better judge of things than God is. And Job's response to that in chapter 42, and this is paraphrased from the Living Letters, "I was speaking of things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me." This was while Job was still in the midst of his severe pain. "I was speaking of things I knew nothing about, not things far too terrible, things far too wonderful, because the Lord had revealed himself to him in a way that he'd never done before. Before all these things happened to him, Job said of God, 'God's intimate friendship blessed my house.' Afterwards," he said, "previously I'd only heard of you. Now I've seen you." And as a result of this experience, Job came to know God in a new way, and what he discovered was absolutely marvellous. Those words of his were while he was still in the midst of his pain. "I was talking of things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me." And the result? Ministry. Job prayed for his friends and they were healed. So the sequence is pain, expansion of my spirit, receiving new insights, new knowledge of God as a result of my experience, and out of what I receive from the Lord, ministry flowing out. So that's the challenge of Job's perseverance to us, and that's the challenge that James brings to you from that verse.